On topic. Let's go back to Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, which is going to bring us to something else. So the Gemara started off, a person shafts and he finds a problem with the knife. So what now? What should we assume that the shechita that he just performed is kosher, or maybe the shechita is not kosher? So the machlok between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda is about this issue, but there's the additional factor that the person was cutting bones with the knife the rest of the day. So Chisda said, "Well, let's just the sakin. We the animal has a cheskas iser, but the sakin probably started off being kosher. So let's presume that the knife became nicked on the chopping the bones the rest of the day. And the time that you performed the shechita, the knife was in fact kosher, and the shechita was kshera." Rav Huna is afraid, no, maybe the knife became nicked as you began the shechita, became nicked on the skin of the animal, and in fact the animal before shechted the siman and the shechita is no good. So here the Gemara brings a proof against Rav Chisda, six lines from the bottom. If you shechted the veshet, this is talking about a chicken or any kind of bird. Shechita by birds, you don't need to shecht both the cut on the veshet, it's either one or the other. That's a unique halach of shechitas oifis. Behemoths require two simanim, an oaf is enough with one siman. So meisvei shogad the saveshet the yachak nishmet hagargeres. You shechted one and then the other one gets pulled out. It's fine. Kshera nishmet hagargeres yachak shogad the saveshet. Well, let's say the gargeres gets pulled out, and then you shechted the veshet. That's psua because the animal is a treifa. Shogad the saveshet v'nimzes hagargeres shemuta. Let's say you shechted the veshet and then you find the gargeres is pulled out, but I don't know. If it came out before the animal was shechted, it's a treifa. If it came out afterwards, once you shechted, you can do whatever you want to the animal. So myself, I'm called suffek shechita psula apostle. That's against Rav Chisda. Called suffek b'shechita l'suyemai. When they said called suffek b'shechita, isn't this coming to include? I'm sorry. So that kind of case is no good. And called suffek b'shechita apostle. So when you say call, what is it coming to include? Is it not coming to include this very case of Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, of a person who shechts with a knife that you subsequently find the nick on the knife, even if he's chopping bones the rest of the day? We have to assume that the suffix, I don't know when the knife became nicked, if it was before, if it was during the shechita, before you shechted the simanim, it was after the shechita, after you shechted the simanim. So call suffix shechita apostle. Isn't it coming to include the case of Rav Chisda and Rav Huna, where the knife was nicked at the time of right after the shechita? We don't know when it happened, that's apostle. Now it's talking about a suffix. You're not sure if you did shahia, you poured in the middle of the shkita, you're not sure if you chopped in the middle of the shkita, daras, then the shkita is no good. But the our case, where you chop bones the rest of the day, the shkita would be good. So the Gemara says, well, why? What's the difference? Because there, the suffix is in the animal, and the animal itself is a previously established status of being also, either because of Eivim and Achai, or because of the halach of Enes Vucha, Taisus and Rashi. Halacha Sakin is Roy Behemelo is Roy. Here we have the difference that the Gemara drew before between to the fact that a chazaka applies to an item, and here the chazaka of the animal being prohibited has nothing to do with the status of the knife at the time of the shechita. One is talking about one item, the other is talking about a different item, and the two sfeikas don't, two chazakas don't join up to sink the shechita of the animal. Halacha Sakin is right, behemel is right. We had that already. So behilksa kavasi. Rav Huna says the Gemara. We pass on Rav Huna kishaloi shiva by etzim. So if you take out that additional factor of the guy was chopping bones the rest of the day, all he was he had a knife that was previously kosher. He checked the knife before the shechita. We already said you have to do that. Then he comes to shecht. Yeah, he finds a pegima in the knife. There's a nick in the knife. I don't know if it happened on the skin before he shechted the simanin, or on the bones that he chopped later in the day. So hilksa kavasi de Rav Huna b'shlo shiva b'etzim. If he wasn't chopping bones the rest of the day, we have to assume that it happened on the skin before he cut the simanim, and the shechita is no good. The hilksa kavasi de Rav Chisda k'shiva b'etzim. You're right. If you're chopping bones the rest of the day, we can rely on the fact that it happened on the bones, and the shechita would be good. The hilksa kavasi b'shiva b'etzim. Mechlal de Rav Chisda. 1 minute. That implies the Rav Chisda will be meiko even if you weren't chopping bones the rest of the day, because we said we paskin like Rav Chisda if you were chopping bones the rest of the day. That implies Rav Chisda would hold his opinion even if you weren't chopping bones the rest of the day. So mechal Rav Chisda afa gavdu shiva ba'etzim. So el b'may ifkum, what is he being toil on? What happens? A guy before he shechts, the knife is kosher. After he shechts, the knife is no good. How did it become nicked if not on the skin before it shechted the animal? So the shechita should be no good. So afa gavdu shiva ba'etzim el b'may ifkum aim ba'etzim. The mifrekes ifkim. How did it become nicked on the backbone of the neck, the spine? That's it, right? So in the back, you have the back of the siman, and there's a neck bone which keeps the, I don't know if it's part of the spine technically, the neck bone. Not my area of biology, but whatever it is, whatever that bone is called, I don't know, what is it called? Abrami, what's it called? Is it a neck bone, a spine bone? I don't know.
The upper part of the vertebrae.
Yeah, is that spine or neck? What do we call it? I don't know. Avrami, come on. Anyway, it became nicked on that part of the... let's get going. Find out. So it became nicked on that part of the... in the middle of Shir, you take out your phone? What's wrong with you? But my Ipkin, and the Mafikas Ipkin. So have you the Torah? Fine. So there was such a scenario. I'm sorry, do you want to ask a question?
I was going to ask, do I need two separate knives, one for Tambo and one for Shlita?
Typically. We said you have to have three knives every
Shlita. Yeah, so can how would a knife be able to become dull from using it for cutting bones? Wouldn't that not be proper for Shlita anyways, then?
It was after he was done with the Shlita. After the Shlita, he chopped bones the rest of the day. And here, but remember, every time you do Shlita, if you cut too far, or even, I don't know if most Shlita do cut the neck. I don't think they decapitate the animal enough to do that. They probably check the simanim and then they're out. But I guess it could have hit the bone in the back. I don't know how close they are to one another and how often that happens. But if it does hit the bone, it could clearly become nicked, right? And so it depends where it hits, in between the vertebrae, probably hitting the bone itself.
Should the neck arm big?
Yeah. In terms of wide, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I assume it could easily happen. I haven't never asked the shaykh. So Gemara says it could have happened on that backbone, but that would be after you already shefted the siman, and then the shkita would be good. So ema be'etzem demafrikas ifkim. Fine, so Rav Chisda would have allowed every shkita if you find the nick on the knife afterwards. Rav Huna says, no, if you weren't chopping bones the rest of the day, we have to assume it happened on the skin at the beginning of the neck, and it's no good. Fine, okay. So if you have the batar for Yosef, there was a certain mice, they shechted 13 animals in a row without checking the knife in between. So if you have the batar for Yosef, atleza kiyuse. He was, and obviously at the end they found the nick in the knife, so he was matriv 13 animals in a row. Kaman ki Rav Huna, like Rav Huna. Vafil bekamaisa. And even the first animal is no good, because I have to assume it became nicked on the skin of the first animal. So the Gemara says, no, maybe it's not a proof against Rav Chisda. Lo k'Rav Chisda. Ulebar mikamaisa. What it means is, he's passing like Rav Chisda. The first animal is okay, because maybe it happened in the back of the neck. All the subsequent animals are no good, because maybe it happened in the back of the neck of the first one. Vibai seima liyodam k'Rav Huna. Maybe I'll tell you, he always passes like Rav Huna. Deik Rav Chisda. Because if he really held like Rav Chisda, why are you excluding just the first one? Mitli mitla talina mimai de be'etzem de kamaisa, the mafrakas de kamaisa. Why are you assuming it happened on the neck of the first animal? If gim dilma be'etzem de mafrakas de basuraisa, if gim, maybe it happened on the back of the last animal. So why would he match up all 13? There's no reason to assume more that it happened on the back of the neck of the first animal and the back of the neck of the 13th animal. So it must be that Rabbi Yosef, who was match up all 13 animals in a row, was holding like Rav Huna, and that other, because if it was Rav Chisda, there's no reason to say that the first one should be, you know, should be exempt, if not, and the rest of the 13 should be a problematic. They all have the same concern. Let's say it happened on the end. So Amalei Rav Acha Berei De Rava Rav Ashi Rav Kahana Matzach B'Dikusa Bein Kol Chada V'Chada. Rav Kahana demanded that the Shechet check the knife in between every Shechita. Come on, who is that going like? K'Rav Huna, isn't that fine, Rav Huna? Again, a proof to Rav Huna. Ulamipso become Isa in order to because otherwise you have to passel the first one. So he said you have to check after the first one. You can't check five in a row without checking, because if you find the nick on the knife, it'll passel even the first one. So you have to check after the first one. You have to check after the second one to find out if they're kosher or not. According to Rav Chisda, you know, why do I have to check after the first one? Even if I find the nick on the knife, I'll assume it happened in the back of the neck and the shkita was kosher. So why do I have to check? Well, Rav Chisda says, maybe it's according to Rav Chisda, and why do I have to check then? Not to passel the first one, but I have to check Lachshurei Basraisa in order so that I could be able to kosher the subsequent ones. Because if I find the nick on the knife, I might be able to exempt the first one. I won't be able to exempt all the subsequent ones, because I have to say the first one on the back of the neck, it got nicked. I don't know what's the status with 2, 3, 4, and 5. So you have to check in between each shechita, not in order to kasher the one that you just shechted, in order so that basraisa, so the last one should be kosher. I don't have to, at least be matrif, even the last one. So yihaki, tiboy nami v'dikas chacham. 1 minute. If you need to check the knife in between each of the shechitas, in order, either in order to save the first one, or in order to save the last one, according to Rav Huna, according to Rav Chisda, Why is it enough if the guy checks it himself? You should require bedikas chacham. Bring it to a Talmud chacham. So the Gemara says, no, eid ha'konemim bisurin. When it comes to matters of isurin and heter, one eid is enough. Of course, it's indeed a mamanis, indeed a nefashis, we have a pasuk, that al pishnayim eidim yakum davar, or pishnayim eidim yumas hameislo, yumas al pi eid achad. And we learn davar mimamon, that just like by dine nefashis, dine mamanis, all require the same standard of eidos, they require two eidim. When it comes to matters of isurin and heter, meaning what's mutter, what's asur, what's kosher, what's treif, every person is believed, eidecha nemi visurin. So, ihaki mei karen amiloi. Why do you have to bring to a Talmud Chacham ever? The Gemara said earlier, you have to bring your knife to a Talmud Chacham that you should check it. Hamar Rabbi Yosman, Hamar Lo Ros Chacham, Sakhan Lo Chacham, El Vnei Kvodesh Lo Chacham. The only reason is to make the rabbi feel good, right? You know, you should go to the higher authority, to quote certain kashrus organizations. So, go to the higher authority. When it comes to checking the knife the first time, but that's only kind of a matter of policy. But Meikra Adin is not required. We could rely on the fact that Eid Echon Nema Bisurin. But what is this concept, of course, critical to all of us kashrus, that I could rely when I go to someone's house that their food is kosher, based on Eid Echon Nema Bisurin? But we need to understand the parameters of this, but first what it's based on. So look over here, Rashi says, Eid Echon Nema Bisurin, the Ko Yachid V'Yachid Hamintza Torah. Where does this come from? Rashi says, because every person is believed, based on the Pasuk, V'Zavachtam Ivakarko Mitzoncha. Because someone would check in the Beis HaMikdash the carbon. Who's eating from the carbon? The Kohanim. Shechitas Ksher Bizar. So you could have a non-Kohen. We already discussed that many times, right? You could have a non-Kohen shechting the animal. Who's eating the animal? Kohanim. How can Kohanim rely on the fact that the Zar performed the Shechita properly? Were there two witnesses there? No. Do I need, right, to be Miyachid Eden before I could, buy a wedding? Before they do the wedding. So we say, we're machabe two people to be the Eide Kiddusha that we have before every Shechita, machabe two people to be the Eide Shechita. We never heard of such a thing. So obviously, we rely on the fact that the Shechita did it properly. The Kohanim are eating his Shechita, his Kikula Hamid Eidim. No one ever heard of being Mamid Eidim, setting aside witnesses for Shechita, below Hitzrichu Torah Eidim, El La'inish Mamina Misas Bezim La'arayas. It's only for, because the Pasuk says, Kimatsi Bakal Ervas Davar. So when it comes to matters of erva, you require just like davar mimaman or pishnai made them yakum davar. So gili arayis, marriage, divorce requires two witnesses. Misas beizin is a pasuk. Al pishnai made them yumas hames. Dine maman is al pishnai made them yakum davar. Gili arayis is davar mimaman because we'll hear it because erva's davar. So we have three areas that require two witnesses. There's nothing to do with kashrus. So you see from the pasuk by Shechita that the Kohen can eat the Shechita of the Zohar, that there's Eid HaKanem and Bisur. What do you want to say? Yeah.
I just want to say, though, that the Shechita that was performed was in the Fusar Avim, so other people are around.
Maybe, but we weren't Meniachid Eidim. We by a wedding, we set aside Eidim, just to make sure someone saw it. Otherwise, you could have a guy shechting, and conceivably, no one saw it, right? He's shechted in the middle of the night. No one's there. You're right, it's done outside, but it doesn't have to be done outside. Certainly, not all Shechita is done. Our regular Shechita, is...
probably brought in, for the
Kohanim. Right, so by the Kohanim. But it doesn't necessarily have it. It would be done in the Azara. I don't know if necessarily anyone was watching. We never heard that there's a requirement that two people be watching, right? Like we have by Dina, Gili Arias. Yeah, so where exactly does this come from? So the Gemara mentions this principle in Masechtas Gittin as well. Eid HaKanem and Bisurin. That's the primary place where it's discussed by the Rishonim. So Rashi there says not exactly what Rashi says here. Rashi there himself is getting says Sharei Amina Torah Kol Echav Ve'Echam Yisrael Al Hafrosh Shuma Val Shkita Val Nikar Agid. It basically says because every person is believed for Shkita, not directly linked to the Kohanim. But again, more of a here it sounds like it was based on the pasuk that one person is shechting, someone else is eating. The Kohanim are eating based on the Shkita of someone else. Rashi here seems to tell us that it's kind of like an inference. Because once a person is mafresh truma, we never heard of a requirement that someone else has to watch over that fresh truma in order for me to be able to rely on the original person who performed that fresha. So it just sounds like from all of these halachas of shechita, of hafresh truma meiser, that if one person does it, he would be believed about that which he did. So Rashi seems to be saying a svara. Taisvis disagrees with Rashi. Taisus over here says, "Perish bekuntris shrei amina torah kol echav ve'echad al frashas truma v'shkita v'nikra agid v'chelev." You separate the gid anoshe and the prohibited fats. Rashi Taisa says, even if you're going to say that there's a compelling svar from the fact that Torah believes, allows one person to do these activities and other people could rely on him, you should not have mentioned Chuma and Shkita. The Gemara Maseches Yevamos has a discussion, a long discussion, whether Eid Echad is Neman to against the Chazaka, previously established status. Lamashal. An animal before it Shechted is Aser Mutter. However, we know. What is the animal before it Shechted? Aser. For one of two reasons, Rashi said Eid Menachai, Tosha said the Isav Enes Vucha. So a person wants to come along and say, the Shechita was done, I Shechted it properly. So when he makes his statement, his assertion, he's really flying in the face of a previously established status that the animal was prohibited. So he's contradicting that which we previously knew to be true about this animal. So do we say Eidach and Emen Visurin is only if I walk into the store and I ask the owner, is this horse meat or cow meat that was shechted properly? He says, no, this is the horse meat and this is the cow meat that was shechted properly. So is he contradicting a previous notion that I had about one of or two, one of these packages of meat? No, he's just telling me, identifying one in a mixture of the two. So then we say, Eidach and Emen Visurin. He's believed to say, this is the Giranoshe, this is the permitted meats. This is the chaylev. This is the permitted part. Here, by Afrash Shuma and Shkita, he's contradicting a previous status that this item had. We knew this produce to be tevel until such time that you separate Shuma and Maishas. We knew this animal to be prohibited until such time that you shef the animal properly. So you're flying in the face of a chazaka. So the Gemara says, do we say Eidach and Emen Visurin is even in a situation where it's against the chazaka or not? That's a long discussion. The Gemara Maseches Yevamos. The Gemara concludes that no, an Eid Echad is not Neman against the Chazaka. A long discussion. The Gemara has to do with a one Eid allowing a woman to remarry with testimony that her husband died. All discussion there. So the Gemara asks, 1 minute. But every Shechita is an Eid Echad Neman against the Chazaka. So how can we say a Chazaka is more powerful than the testimony of an Eid Echad? But then how is a sheikh ever permitted or ever believed to say that he shechted the animal properly? Or how is a person ever believed to say he separated Truman and Samaisers? He's undoing or contradicting that which we previously knew to be true about this produce, that it was tevel. So the Gemara says at the end of the fourth line over here, Ois Beis, that even though normally Eidach and Emen Visurin is only to identify A versus B, which is chaylev, which is permitted, which is aser, which one in the mixture is mutter, which one is aser, not to contradict the previous status of the item, that's only where you don't have within your hands to fix it. Says the Gemara, "Hi tevel hekidami idi de mishum de biyada lesakno." If it's your tevel, I could fix it now. So I say to the guy, "Believe me that I separated chumas and maizus, because if I didn't, I could just separate it now. It's in my hands to do it." So when it's in your hands to do it, I'm not contradicting a previous status of this animal, which is something that's impossible for me to bring about. I am. It's in my hands to do it. As opposed to, let's say, one witness comes and testifies that a woman's husband died at sea. Someone says, who are you to contradict her previous status of being a married woman to say her husband died at sea? You have no right to contradict that chazaka. Every sheikh contradicts the previous chazaka that the animal was prohibited and now he's saying it's permitted. Every person who separates shumas and maestros is saying the produce has been gemeistered and we know before we knew it was tevel. That's because he could do it now. I can't kill the husband, but Medina Sayyam, right? So how could I say that she's permitted to remarry because I saw the husband die somewhere else? How can you believe me? I'm contradicting her previous status as a married woman, and it's not within my hands to bring about that result. So you can't extrapolate one from the other. That's why the Gemara brings it up there. But when it's something that I have in my hands to do, that's an entirely different discussion. So that's why Tosfos says, well, the fact that Rashi brought in Trumas and Maitzis and Shechita is really a red herring. Because it's not relevant to our discussion. It confuses the issue. Because Taisa says everyone agrees if it's biyado to bring about that result, I could make that result happen through my own hands and efforts. Of course, you even believe against a chazaka. So that can't be the source for the general principle of Eidach and Emen Visurin, because that's like a super nemanus when I could bring about the result myself. So Taisa says, look back at Ois Aleph in the Taisa. So he says, Avagav this chazaki sur mishum to biyado lesaknam. I could bring about that result myself. He quotes the Gemara, even though now I can't shech the animal, I could have previously, I can in theory bring about that kind of result. If we're not the case, then the Eid Echad would lose to the fact that he's contradicting the previously established status of this item. De lo matzino b'shum mokum she'id starik b'godol echad oimed al gabo b'maizim b'chol yom de me'emen. Everyone's believed when they do shkita, afo gabdo l'shayach rov mitzuyin eishu shkita mumkhen. Okay, fine. Okay. So since Taisus, that's Rashi Shita, that's derived from this kind of svara. Taisus has a different source for it. Taisus says that the three lines from the bottom, then Taimer, if you're not going to derive it from Shkita, because that's different, that's Biyado. Shkita is also different for another reason. And this point Taisus makes also. The Ramban makes it even more clearly than Taisus. We'll get to the point in a second. Okay, anyway, so Taisus, once he rejects Rashi, because he says you can't derive from Shkita, you can't derive from Nikar Agid, that's Biyado. Whenever it's Biyado, you even believe to contradict the Chazaka, so this can't be the source for the regular din of Eidach and Emisun. So where is it derived from? Rashi said it's a Svara, from the fact that I could do these activities, must be that the Torah grants me some, some Nemanos, some believability with regards to others. Taisus derives it from a Pasuk. Because the pasuk says in connection with the nida, v'safra la, Tarsh says, "Via mitzera," she counts for herself shivin akiyim. After a woman finishes menstruating, she has to count 7 clean days. We according to how she does bedikos to make sure that she's clean, and then she goes to the mikveh after the completion of the shivin akiyim. But who counts those 7 days for her? She has to count them off. Who counts the 7 days? She's going to count herself. It would be a violation of tznius for anyone else to be there. So the Gemara derives from this principle, v'safra la, la la atzma. She counts for herself. That you see, she's believed when she tells her husband, I counted the shivin akim. She's believed. Vim tov. So don't you see from here that eid echa nam v'surin? But 1 minute, this is eid echa nam v'surin, which even contradicts a chazaka. So why did the Gemara say in your vomit when it's not biyado? It's not in your hands to bring about that result. And Eidach loses to a chazaka. The whole source of Eidach and Emisun is from Vesafer, la 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 atzma. She's contradicting her previous status of being an Ida by informing her husband, I'm no longer an Ida, I counted Shem and Akim. So Taisus says, Adarabba, Eidach should be Neman even against the chazaka. And here it's not Biyada to bring about that result. She can't, she can't cause herself to stop bleeding. So why is she believed there if she's contradicting her previously established status of being an Ida? And if you'll say she is, because it's a Pasuk, so let's derive from here, if this is the source of Eid Echad and Emisur, we should derive from here that Eid Echad is believed even when it contradicts her previous status. So let the Eid Echad be believed, even to allow a woman to remarry, even though it's going against the Chazaka that she was a previously married woman. Now he's saying she's not, and Eid Echad be believed even against the Chazaka. So Taisus says, no, see, a woman who's married could, in theory, be married her entire life. A woman's not going to bleed her entire life, menstruate her entire life. If she does, it's severe problems. It's not menstruation. She has some bleeding disorder. So a woman who's a normal woman is going to stop bleeding at some point. So it's not really contradicting a previously established status, because that status has a time limit on it. It can't last forever. Well, it's Chazik Yisur. And also, but she has to go to the mikveh to be permitted. Yeah, but that's within her hands to do that. It's biyada litvo. Okay, so Taisus has one source, Eidach and Emisur, which is derived from where? V'safra lo lo liyatzma. Rashi derives it from a kind of a svara. If the Torah believed me about shkita, or even the tishkita, Taisus says it's different, that's really biyado. But let's say from the fact that I can separate between the gid anasha and the other parts of the animal. And, just daily life, right, about going about running a kosher kitchen. If everyone in the kitchen can't trust their mother that their food is kosher, we're going to have major problems here. It will be hard to run a household. So Rashi says it's kind of like a svara. I don't need edim every time I do something in the kitchen. So Rashi says kind of like a svara. Taisus says, no, it's based on the pasuk, v'safra lo lo liyatzma. Then it should even be believed against a chazaka. So Taisus says, no, she can't bleed forever. And the fact that she also needs to go to the mikveh to become tahor, that's within her hands to do that. And that always enables an Eid Echad to be believed against the Chazaka. Why did Rashi say, Taisus is a good source. V'safra lo lo liyatzma, we all believe in that. A woman can count Shivin Akim for herself. So Ramban explains, Rashi didn't want to say like Taisus because of a very compelling reason. Because there's no other way of a woman counting Shivin Akim. I have to have two witnesses there to say count Shivin Akim? That would be a terrible violation of tznius. So Ramban says, whenever there's no other way of negotiating the situation, we will extend nemanos to a person who normally is not entitled to that. So look over here. The Ramban says, "Hasam e'efcher shetavi edim lepsika zivasa." It's impossible for her to bring witnesses that she stopped bleeding. Ulesvirasa ulesvigasa, where she's going to bring witnesses. She went to the mikvah. You know, two men with her in the mikvah. Chas v'shalom. So the figa chaminsa tara ve'en lemeidim imenu v'shar edus klal she'en don in efshar mishii efshar. We can't learn out a case where you can have two kosher witnesses from a place where it's just impossible. It would be a terrible violation of tznius. So Rashi might have held, but Safar Lo, Lo Liatz was a separate case. It's not really related to the general issue, but that's where Taisus derives the halach of Eidach and Emi Bisurin is from there. There's another similar parallel to the Ramban, which he says that, right, if it's not possible, so then of course we extend believability to others who might not know we're entitled to that. He says is that with regards to a Chaya, what happens, a child is born. And then what happens? You bring it to the infirmary. And then, you know, like the old joke goes, we don't even know who's our baby anymore, other than the fact that there's like a name card. So who tells you that that's your baby when it comes out? The chaya, the birth, you know, the woman who's there at the time that the birth happens. Yeah, but she's not, this is going to determine who's getting the lion's share of the Yerusha, right? The Bechar. Bechar Lenachal is going to be determined by the chaya. Well, certainly if there's two babies that come out, she's going to be believed to say who came out first. In the olden days, the husband wasn't in the delivery room. The new thing. Husband goes in the delivery room. In those days, it wasn't, and there was no man in there. So who's going to be believed to say that this son is the Bechor and he gets the double portion? It was the Chaya. So the Gemara says that we believe the Gemara Masechta Kiddushin. We believe the Chaya when it comes to determining who's the Bechor. So says the Rosh and the Tshuva that that's different. How can we believe a Chaya? Who's the Bechor when it comes to Dinei Mavonis? You need Pishnai Meidim, Yochum Dover. He says, there are three people who are believed. Who's to say who's the Bechor? Gimel, their mother, Bechor, Chaya, Abed, Ve'imai. Even though they're Kraivim, even though they're related, even though she's a woman of Chaya, she's believed when it comes to this area of DNA moment. The father is believed because the Pasuk says a special there is a cause that he's believed. From the fact that the father is believed to say who's the Bechor because he would know and no one else is going to know, so too, we could derive the Chaya and the mother too, even though normally they'd be Pasuli Yedos, the relatives, the she's a woman, why should she believe when it comes to Dinei Mamonis? It's required normally two Edim, who are Ksheirim, not related. Here, who else is going to know if the kid is the Bechor? So when it comes to determining which child is the Bechor, these individuals are believed because it's simply impossible to know any other way. The Ramah has a similar Svar in a weird situation. I haven't had this in my shul, Baruch Hashem, but a fight breaks, we've had the other side of the Mechitza, but a fight breaks out in Ezra's Nashim. We've had wrestling matches on the other side, before my time. But says the Ramah, says, V'chol elu apsulim, o psule, yedis psulim afil b'makum do'oshkik ha'noshim sherim. Even if there's no, not normally noshim sherim there, women are possibly yedis. V'chol ze midina, that's midina. Aval geish oimrim, there are those that I say, that say, to the kanas kadmainimu, there was an early takana. The bemakom she'ein anoshim regilim liyos. Let's say you have a place where there's no, it's not common for a man to be there. Kegoin the beis hakneses shol noshim or b'shar dover akroy she'ish regilim v'loy anoshim. A fight breaks out in the woman's restroom. Who's going to give testimony? Who hit who? Kegoin lomar should be gadam elu love she'ish aplanis v'hein shalah, or to say this is her fur coat. Now your fur coat. Who knows fur coats? Men don't know fur coats. Hole in the wall. Ve'ein regilim anoshim v'daktik b'zeh. Men don't have any, they just don't pay attention to these things. Whose sheitel is this? Who knows? Noshim ne'amonos. Women are believed. An expert witness. Because there's no one else there who knows about this stuff. So you see that we find certain precedents in halacha when a person, when there's no eidim k'shem that are present or possible, like v'safar lo lo liatzma, the woman herself will be believed. So you can't really derive from there a source that eidach and his name will be sure in other areas, because this is different. He ain't done an efshar, misha he efshar. That was the argument of the Ramban. Ain't done an efshar, misha he efshar. So Rashi didn't want to learn like Tarsus, therefore. So Rashi learned it from a different source. Rashi learned it from a svara. Pashut svara, how can you expect me to run a kitchen if everything I do in the kitchen requires eidim k'sherim? Must be, we say, eidach and name will be sure. Taisa said, don't mention Shkita. Shkita is biyado to do it. I could bring about it now. Is it even Eid HaKhanemen against the Chazakah? But it's rather from the fact that, how can you expect me to run a kosher kitchen unless you'll say Eid HaKhanemen Bishon? So according to Rashi, it's a Svara. According to Taisvis, it's because of the Pasuk of Yisafar La Lali Yatzma. One difference between Rashi and Taisvis might be, what about women? Do we extend Eid HaKhanemen Bishon to only men or to women as well? Well, if it's based on the pasuk v'safra lo lo liyatzma, a woman is believed to count shivan akiyim for herself, And that's the source for this principle in Kol Torah Kula, that one witness is believed outside of the area of Dine Mamnes, Dine Nefashis, you know, to establish marital status or divorce status. You know, any other area of halacha, is this shatnez, is it not shatnez, is it matzah, is it chametz, is it whatever, you know. Is the shechita good, is shechita no good? So, if that source is b'safar lala liyatma, certainly a woman should be believed, right? As we see from Tosis. According to Rashi, that's like a svara, because how else do we expect to run life if, you know, you have to have Adam Sherim wherever you go? Might not necessarily extend to women, it's hard to know. So look over here, there seems to be a machlekes rishonim. And Rashi seems to follow his line of thinking. The Gemara says in Masechtas Pesachim the following: Hakol ne'eman ba'bir chametz. When it comes to establishing whether a house has been cleaned of chametz or not, afilu nashim, afilu avadim, afilu ketanim. Women, avadim, ketanim are all believed to say the house was clean for Pesach. My time, mehemni. Why they believed? The muktzah on the robadak. Ka'amri hani batkinu. Because the house was, you know, had a chazaka that it wasn't checked. And these individuals came along and they said they checked it. Maybe they shouldn't be believed. Kamash Malan came into Bedikas Chametz mid Rabbanon. Who? Since Bedikas Chametz anyway, checking the house is only mid Rabbanon. Because we say the mid Rise of Itubah al Masagi, I'm about to my Chametz, you know, call, every Chametz that I have in my position, possession should be bought to have a kafir of the Ara. That's really enough to cleanse my house and, you know, and avoid the Isra Bali Rabbi Matzei. But yeah, since you have to remove the chametz from the house, that's only mid rabbanon. Since the whole concept of removing the chametz from the house is only mid rabbanon, cleaning is only mid rabbanon. So hamnu rabbanon mid rabbanon. Chazal believed the woman to say that the house was clean because anyway, you only have to clean the house mid rabbanon. So why is a woman believed to say she cleans for Pesach? Because anyway, v'dikas chametz is only mid rabbanon. So Chazal believed her. Why would I have said a woman is believed to say she cleaned the house for Pesach? Because of the old principle, Eidach and Namah Bisurin. Even if you'd have to clean the house midoraisa, what happened to one witness is believed when it comes to matters of Issa v'Heter? Is the house clean? Is it matzah? Is it, you know, is the animal kosher? Is it not? Is this milk? Is this a horse meat or a cow meat that was shechted properly? That's Eidach and Namah Bisurin. I would say a woman is believed there. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says we only believe the woman that she checked the house for chametz on Pesach because anyway, bedikas chametz is only the rabbanon midoraisa. It's enough that you're mavat on chametz. Hamnu rabbanon midorabbanon. So Rashi there writes, my time in Amnonin, halah b'neas hu deininu. These individuals, the Isha, the Katan, the Evan, are not valid witnesses. So why are they believed here? Hamnu rabbanon b'chiyuva the lesson midorabbanon. Since the chiyuva is here to check, it's only midorabbanon. Hey mitzrichu v'hey mitiruhu. They said you have to remove chametz from the house even though you were mavato, you made it negligible. So they said that you can believe them. V'koyach b'yadayim v'aminim b'midi d'lav d'raisa. So Rashi really says a woman is not included in Eid Echa Nehem V'Surin. Taisa says, what? Taisa can't handle this. Because Taisa holds the whole source of Eid Echa Nehem V'Surin is v'safar la l'ali atzma. That a woman is permitted to count Shivan Akiyam herself. So Rashi says, yeah, there's no other choice. What do you want? That's like the woman who gets in a fight and has this notion. We have no other choice. Who's else going to tell us the Bechar? If not the Chaya, then not the birther. The laborer. Now we call it a doula. What do they call it? The midwife. So if we're not going to believe the midwife, who else are we going to believe? So there it's not possible. But who's to say when it comes to checking for chametz, we should believe the woman? Rashi says, no. She's not believed. Eid Echa Nehem V'Surin. Taisa says, of course she is. Of course she is. The whole source is from there. So then why, according to Taisa, if a woman is believed, why did the Gemara have to say we only rely on the woman to check for chametz? Because chametz on the Rabbanon, hamnu Rabbanon the Rabbanon. Women, of course, are believed. So Taisa says, no. Don't try this at home. But Taisa says, over here in the bracket, the fourth line, even though anything that the woman should know, she's permitted to and relied upon to give testimony about when it comes to this. If it had to feel midday raisa, even when it comes to dinim midday raisa, the maizim b'chol yoim, it happens every day. We rely on them, women on these issues all the time. Even though it is in their hands to bring it about, if it would have been a dimid derisa, we would not have believed them. Why not? Mishum de ika tirka yaseirasa vitzarach dikdu gado. It requires a lot of, you know, to be fastidious, to have a sustained effort. Kedemukuk b'yushalmish v'farish v'nei shanoshim atzloni yishei. No translation necessary. All right. Hoi. Okay. So fine. So that's why I would have thought the women aren't believed, and if it would have been the Dimidai Raisa, we would not have believed them. That's what Tosa says. Because here, it requires a sustained effort. We can't rely on them to do that necessarily. Okay. 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 Not the most complimentary pshat, but all right. Rashi said, no, more fundamentally, women are not believed when it comes to Eidach and Nevin Bisurin. Tosa can't handle that because Tosa held the whole source was from women. V'safar lo lo liyasma. The Ravid also says that women are believed. He says, V'time of the milsa, that kol chaveirim eitzel mitzvahs, mekevin shehem oiskin bohem, shem lo kein eich adam samik benikar heksher, u'bedikas hayirakas al ishto biyirakas shehuksuk betolam, u'vaday hocha lav, da'ami anam adkino, da'ami bodak le mehemenu. The Ravid has a more complimentary pshat. The Ravid says, no, you know why? You know, I guess he says like Rashi. He says like Rashi, but I guess more modified approach. He says that if the woman would say, I did it myself, she would be believed. Right? Because how else do you rely on your mother that the food in her kitchen is kosher? Here, the woman is not testifying that she herself cleaned it. Then we would say, if she's saying, I did it myself, we would believe her. What she's doing is she's testifying that my cleaning woman did it. So when it comes, if it would be her, we could have believed her, because otherwise how do you believe anybody in any situation about anything? You can't have to have two witnesses every time someone does something in the kitchen, every time they fry an egg, you can't have two witnesses there. The egg had no blood spots. It would be ridiculous. But here she's not doing that. She's saying, I testify about somebody else that they clean the house. So that's why... That's why she might not be believed. But again, the Ravid is holding like, he's saying, he's like to Tosis that if she would have cleaned the house herself, she would be believed. But it's like Rashi, that when it comes to testifying about others, we don't apply the rule of Eidach and Nevin Bisurin to women. It's only to men. So according to Rashi and the Ravid, I think what you have to suggest is that Eidach and Nevin Bisurin is a real kind of Eidos. It's not formal Eidus that requires two witnesses, like Eidus by Dine Mamanus, Eidus by Dine Nefashus, or Dovah Shevi'erva, but it is Eidus. And therefore, we have standards of who is acceptable to be a witness. And a woman is typically excluded from being a witness, and therefore she'd be excluded here as well when it comes to Eidach HaNevin Bisurin. That's what I think you see for Rashi and the Ravid. According to Taisvis, we would have to say that Eidach HaNevin Bisurin is not Eidos at all. A woman, of course, is not a kosher Eid. She's not a kosher Eid. But maybe over here we're not dealing with a parish of Eidos. Maybe over here what we're dealing with is not Eidos at all. Eidach HaNevin Bisurin is a kind of believability that's afforded to religious Jews. And it has nothing to do with a person's gender, because this is not testimony in court, right? Eidach HaNevin Bisurin is not getting testimony being delivered under oath in court. This is testimony that's happening in the kitchen. So this is not Eidos at all. And therefore, since it's not Eidos at all, it's not testimony. So then the standards that we have by testimony with regards to others of Halacha shouldn't necessarily transfer to here. Rashi and the Ravid hold, no, we're dealing with Eidos. And since you're dealing with Eidos, perhaps we should import the same standards, and since a woman is not kosher as an age, she's not kosher when it comes to Eidach HaNevin Bisurin either. This is really two opinions in the Shittim and Kubetzes over here. Says the Shittim and Kubetzes, Yesh Medaktikin, She'ein Ha'ish Ne'emenes Bisurin Shal Torah El B'din Idusa. There are those that say that a woman is only kosher for Eidos when it comes to Issa V'Heter. When it comes to her own status, because how else are you supposed to believe anybody? How else is she supposed to count Shavin Akim? That's not a valid source for other areas of halacha. The shiny azim lo sagi b'lav alki. There's no other choice if you're not going to rely on her. Ki efter lo labal ladas masai vesta. I don't know when her cycle is. Vishamu you may see for inshallah when she's completed counting Shavin Akim. Ela alpiha. It's only based on what she tells us. Vimloi samina. But if you're not going to believe her, a husband and wife can never be together. That's what the Gemara means in Pesachim. We don't believe a woman when it comes to B'dikas Chometz if it would have been Midaraisa. It's only because it's the Rabbanan. But otherwise, we would not believe her. It's only because it's a bito, but al masagi, it's enough a bito chometz. You don't need bidikas chometz midaraisa. So that's why we believe her. But then the shittim ubetzes goes on to quote another pshat ve'ein perish zenochen. Shekol makom shamina tara edekam b'isurin ha'isha ki'ish. Men and women are the same. Shechein be'inyane habayis mutolin aleha. Everything is dependent on her. We rely on them all the time. Matzah and Pesach. There's always the women who are in the bakery and who is in the kitchen at various times. Of course, a mother might prepare supper. How are you going to rely on her? We rely on them in all kinds of these situations. That's a different case because it's Karnoshim. When we talk Shein Atzlani, it's Boit Kis Kol Shein. They're not going to check sufficiently, they're not going to check sufficiently because it's too difficult. So this might depend on the source, right? If Eidach HaNem B'Surin is a Sva, is based on a Sva, lo liyatzva, certainly women are included. If it's based on a kind of a Sva, well, then how could you believe anybody in the area of Kashrus? Maybe it only extends to men. It might not necessarily extend to a woman. Not necessarily about her own cooking in particular, right? Her own cooking, maybe you have the same svara that Rashi said. How are you ever going to rely on your mother to eat supper? But at least when it comes to testifying about others, the Ravid said, maybe we don't extend that kind of nemanus to her. And to testify, if it's about herself, maybe we'd have the same svara. But if it's about testifying about others, right, that's what the Ravid told us, so then she's not believed to say the house was checked for chametz. Or she might not be believed to say someone else checked it properly. Even if we believe her for herself, like the Ravid said, the compelling argument, how do you eat anything in your house? But she might not be believed to testify about others. But nonetheless, we paskin, when it comes to Eidach HaNem B'Surin, even though it's a big discussion in the Rishonim, we paskin a woman is believed. V'chol ha'psuei eidus k'sherim we'in in Isurim. Everyone who's paskin in other areas of halacha is kosher here. And lo shekosher lo isim dvarim. Unless, of course, they're not religious in that area. If she eats treif, she's not kosher for testifying that food is kosher. But if she doesn't eat treif, she's believed the ish and amenes b'davar isa lomer takantiv. So here, it's a little bit unfortunate that the Rama said that. Because what is the example he gave? Did he give the example of a woman who says, someone else fixed it? Or she says, I fixed it? She says, takantiv, I fixed it. Yeah, if you fixed it, Rashi says, we have a svara, we're believed, I'm allowed to eat your food because it's presumably kosher. But can I believe when you testify about someone else? Rama never said that. So Rama never really said a woman could be a mashgicha. Doesn't say that. Look at the Rama. The Rama says, so we said, it's a big machlekes. Do we rely on women when it comes to Eidach HaNem B'Surin? At least when it comes to her own food, the Ravid and the Shizim Kobetz has had this far. How, we can believe the woman is coming out from her kitchen is kosher. But the Rama, when he quotes this halacha, can you believe a woman when it comes to testifying about others, is unclear. The Rama said, "Kol psui edus k'shem u'inin isurim." Anybody who's possibly edus is kosher for edus isurim. But then he says, "Ishan emenes lomar b'davar isa lomatakantiv." She can say, "I fixed it." Doesn't say she can say someone else fixed it. Chepi, yeah, that's a little bit wanting. So Rama Yishin the Gris Moshe said, no, what the Ramah is telling us is a woman is kosher when it comes to Eidach HaNem B'Surin, and a woman can be a mashgicha. The only issue we had, remember we discussed this all the way back at the first beginning of this man, was an issue of svara, that's a community appointment. Do we really, can we allow a woman to be in that kind of a communal position of authority? Is a mashgicha a communal position of authority? We discussed, and we discussed the parameters of that. There were big machlekes about this. Ramesha even brings it up in that tshuva. Maybe yes, maybe no, a whole tshuva. Ramesha was lenient that a woman can be in a position of authority in these kinds of issues, even though the Rambam might be against it. We don't pass like the Rambam. That was a whole Ramesha. But more fundamentally, can a woman be believed to say that the food that someone else is preparing is kosher? If it's her food, yes, she's believed to say that kantav, I fixed it. What about if she's testifying about somebody else? Or Ramesha assumes, even though the Rama doesn't really say it, that we can believe her. Others disagreed with Ramesha. Whether they were entitled to disagree with Ramesha about this point is not for me to decide. But there were other contemporaries of Ramesha of lesser standing, let's just put it that way, who disagreed with Ramesha and said, look at the Rama. The Rama doesn't say what you said he says. The Rama says that I fixed it. So if she'd be in the kitchen, you're right, she could be believed. But if it's someone else fixing it, we can't rely on a woman. But we typically passing like Ramosha, that woman is believed they rechanam v'isurin, so Rabbi Sai, you don't have to worry about eating anywhere, even if certainly if the person preparing the food is an isha. But even if she's testifying, you can have an isha who's a mashgicha. I mentioned there's a few restaurants. Not in our New York, you rare. I've never seen it, but outside of New York, you have a woman in mashgicha. Is entirely acceptable, and that's where Moshe writes in the Gros Moshe, she's permitted to testify that the food that someone else is preparing is kosher, even though it is eid echonem and bisurin, and some Rishonim held it might be a kind of edus. That's not Taisus derives no source from Vesafer lo lo liatzma. A woman is believed to count shemen and kin for herself, so only she's believed. Even if it's not herself, she's believed to testify someone else prepared food, food properly. So we can rely that people's food is kosher in their house. So what happens is, first of all, is that true? Can we assume everyone is now kosher liedus? Let's say I know the guy to be a frum guy, then of course I can trust him. What if I don't know the guy? I'm on a YU, what do they call it, the Torah tours. They send me to some person's house. Can I eat their food? Well, all Jews, you know, Chaverim Kol Yisrael. So we usually assume, Eidach HaNem B'Surim, right? The guy's a Jew, he's believed to say his food is kosher. Why is that? So Salvech Kedah Chakira, Shechter quotes it in one of the Sfarim. He says, I think in the second volume of his Sefer on the Rav. So he says, is that because most Jews are religious? So I should assume you're part of the majority? Is that true anymore? No. Or should I say most Jews are born on the right path. What happens afterwards is up to them. But most Jews start off with a cheskas kashrus. Every Jew is tahar, is a chelik alakamimau. So he starts off with a cheskas kashrus. It quickly dissipates, but I assume every Jew is kasher until such time there's proven otherwise. So is Eidach HaNem B'Surim because of a cheskas kashrus? Every Jew starts off with a cheskas kashrus. Starts off being a kasher yid, a tahar chelak elakamimal. Or maybe it's because of a roiv. But nowadays, roiv Jews are not. So Rav Salavechik wasn't sure we should automatically grant everybody the status of Eidach HaNem B'Surim. Maybe they need some kind of diploma to be granted the status of Eidach HaNem. Okay, I'm not that far. I don't know anybody who's gone that far. But there is something that comes up all the time, Chevra. A guy's traveling. Or, as I happens in my backyard in I have two backyards, but it happens in Passaic. A woman, very industrious. Now there's the new thing in our times. It doesn't have to be a woman, it could be a man. I don't mean to label it. But a person wants to start a business in their house. Everyone's an entrepreneur now. We even have an entrepreneurial center here in Sy Sims. Everyone is an entrepreneur. So they have some little skill that they want. And their skill might be baking or cooking or some desserts. And they brought it to their friend's house for dessert. Oh, you should market this. You'll make $1 million. Fine. So they start and they sell in town. But they don't get Ashkocha. What are they relying on the fact? They're relying on the fact, 1 minute, I would eat supper there, for lunch there, Shabbos afternoon. So you think I need Ashkocha on the muffins that she makes and she sells, or the cookies that she makes, the cakes that she makes, the seven layers, whatever she makes. I need Ashkocha. I don't need Ashkocha. I trust her. So, if you know the person intimately, maybe, you know, anyone here from Baltimore? No. There was a store in Baltimore for years, the major kosher store there that I don't think had a hashgacha. Everyone knew him in town. But Baltimore's a small community. You know, if something would be going on, shenanigans, they would know about it. But I don't think that's the case anymore. But can we say that? Do we say that? I come to Hawaii. The only kosher food on the Big Island is a Chabad. So I say, well, the guy's a kosher yid, so I can eat in his... Yeah, but he's selling it to me. Is there any difference when a person starts making money on the food as opposed to if he's not making money? I would eat lunch by him. Let's assume every Jew is kosher. Rav Salvechik said, I'm not sure every Jew really has a cheskas kashrus anymore. Or maybe every row of Jews are religious. I don't know. But okay, let's assume... Let's have optimistic. We don't have to be Pollyannish, but let's be optimistic. Yeah. But what if he's charging me? So the Torah writes over here, Oysid Aleph. Kasav Adoni Yavi Yarosh. Va'idna noigim echol golos Yisrael she'eim ma'aminim lekevotzim u'memanim anoshim yiduim al-shkita. You cannot believe the Sheikhed. Now, they didn't have takeout. There were no restaurants in the 1300s or when the Rush lived, the 1400s in Germany. There were no takeout restaurants that had not yet been invented. Right? So there were, what was there? Shechita, you bought meat from somebody else. Can you believe the Shechit? Or do I need an independent kashrus authority that's testifying about the meat that this individual is producing and marketing? So, cause of Adoni Avi Arosh, Noegim Bechol, Golos Yisrael, Sheim Aminim, the Kavatsim, Imanim Anoshim, Yidum Al Shechita. You cannot believe the Shechit. And so too says the Chayyadam 300 years later, again, 1700s, we're not talking, way before Milmar. Af agav de bistam adam sheni yodua mukhashin ala machzikina no sebe cheskes kashrus. Even though typically we award a certain type of cheskes kashrus to a guy simply because he claims to be a Jew. Questionable in our times, right? Some of these communities, you go to the people's houses, you know, they don't know anything about tefillas kelim. They don't know anything about keeping kosher. I presume that they buy, if they think that they're keeping kosher, they know to buy in the kosher store. How much could go wrong in the kitchen afterwards is not small, but okay. They're not buying shellfish. But at least in the Chayyadim's time, a person claims to be Jewish, you can eat in his house. You can eat there. We're not afraid he's going to eat horse meat or shellfish. To buy from him, yesh oimim de oser kol davar sheyesh lochus boil dvar isar afilo de rabbanon. Even if it's only an isar mid rabbanon, you need a separate authorized kashrus agency or individual. Doesn't have to be a global national agency, but some individual who is not selling the item, who testifies to you that this food is kosher. That is based on the Takana of the Rosh of Noegim Bechol Golos Yisrael. And it makes sense, because once the person is invested in making money off the item, he is Noegeya B'davar. And as we already discussed, even though Eirach HaNevim Bisurin, there are certain limitations, some limited to women. What about, we said, we will allow a woman to testify about Eirach HaNevim Bisurin, but that doesn't mean if a person is a gan, if a person here stands something to gain, he's Noegeya B'davar. I always wonder, these Chabad, I'm not casting aspersions, but a Chabad who is in, what's that island in the middle of the Pacific? Samoa. And he claims to have kosher food, and then all of a sudden there's a YU Connects event in Samoa, and we are flooding him with requests for kosher meat. What's he going to do? I don't know. I would hope he'd say, I don't have any more, but I don't know. You're not getting Hawaii. I don't know where they get kosher meat from. It probably comes from L.A. What happens if there's an influx of Jews, and the guy said he just doesn't have any more? So does he say, I don't have any more? I would hope he would. I'm not casting Chas V'Shalom, I'm casting aspersions on anybody. But a person's Yiras Shamayim is tested. How can I rely on him? That's above and beyond what the standard amount of your, you know, Eirach HaNevim Bisurin we award to every Jew. So is no Geya B'davar. So again, here too, when it comes to a woman who's producing food in her basement, I don't think that one can rely on the fact that I would eat in her kitchen. Unless intimately, if it's my sister-in-law, yes, right? If it's my cousin, yes. I know them intimately. But again, even sometimes when we know people intimately, we don't know them intimately. How often are we surprised by people who we think are upstanding individuals within the community, and then there's a story that's published which is entirely surprising, right? It's happened. If it hasn't happened to you, it will. So we don't really know people that well. We don't really know people that well. We think we do, but we don't, just because they sit next to us in shul. So I don't think that this is up to our standards. I don't think that this can be relied upon, yeah.
So we can't have those people cater?
Cater?
Yeah.
Without a hashgacha? Yeah. No. No. I've already made enemies because of this, but I don't think so. I spoke to a Vashel Weiss about it. I spoke to a Shechter about it. No, it's terrible. It's terrible. A woman who's selling stuff in a community needs to have hashgacha. You might believe her, and she might be a kosher person, but you see already the Chayyadam, but earlier already in the Rosh, Bechol, Golos, Yisrael, you have to have hashgacha. I'm willing to say for myself, I'm not willing to go, you know, get slaughtered for this. I don't think you can eat in a Chabad that sells food. So someone told me that's not, the Chabad offers that as a service. They don't make money off the food.
It's true? It's true. You don't, ideally you should donate to them afterwards because you're there. But you're not charged anything for the food.
Not true.
Like
that's not true.
Depends on the place. Actually, you're right.
It's not true. There are Chabads that do charge.
I'm not in like the random places.
I don't believe Chabads are superior business people. Everything is there to support their operation. The day schools, the nurseries. The food, maybe not. Maybe that's a chesed. If it is a chesed, you're right. Then what do they care? They'll say, we don't have enough or whatever, or they have no reason to lie. And that's why I'm not willing to make a mochama against it. I wouldn't eat, if there's any other option, I wouldn't, because the guy's selling the food. It's a business. Certain places I've been provide catering throughout the week. It's not just Shabbos meals they provide as a chesed for people visiting for Shabbos. They're the only source of kosher food in the whole place. Shvach. Yeah. What are you going to say? Yeah.
So if I specifically says lichnos, what if it was a free sample?
No, but that's for you to buy. Why do they give out free samples? Nothing's for free.
I want you to taste and see if you might like it, and then you may be inclined to buy a future one.
Yeah, that's called business practices. Right? Come on. Come on. Yeah.
Is this only by women?
No. Chas v'shalom. Women and men, we said, are the same. I happen to not know any entrepreneurial men who make stuff in their basements like that, but I'm sure there are.
Yeah.
Sure there are. There are? You do? You make stuff? Yeah. What do you make?
I bake. Bake what?
Anything and
everything.
And you charge for it?
Previous year?
I have.
Oh, we can't eat it,
John. If you would charge us for it, we can't eat it. If you wouldn't charge for it.
If he brings it to Hawaii and gives people.
I think if you bring it as a chesed, you should be believed. You're no different than anybody else. You're no different than anybody else. Blondies. But otherwise, I think, I don't understand how Pesach is overrun with this. But to their credit, many have Ashkocha now. But the problem is you have to build a separate kitchen, and you have to have a video camera installed in your kitchen, which is not the nicest thing, where the rabbis can watch your video, watch your kitchen at any time. So you really have to have a separate kitchen, and you have to have then the rabbi could come and peek in your kitchen, and you like a restaurant. So a bunch of people do it if you become a big enough operation. But I think it's shvach ha'maisis otherwise. Yeah.
If we're talking about something that you don't know well, and it's for free.
I think even if you do know them well, how well do you really know them?
Can we assume, unlike the Rav, I guess, that everyone wants to do the right thing, and if they're being honest, it's going
to
be kosher.
A lot of people want to do the right thing, and a lot of people with Shema has nothing to do with being a from Jew.
They just don't know the halachos. That's what it comes down to?
No, they can't trust them. You can't trust them. I don't mean to cast aspersions, but when you are feeding food to Am Yisrael, there's a greater responsibility is required, and you need checks and balances. I hate to quote an American term, but you have to have checks and balances.
Someone could just say that,
so people say, oh, we need it in the kitchen, it's the Rebbe's in, it doesn't matter.
It's not that. If someone say, oh, the Vod is trying to make money, so they're going to say that, oh, you need Ashkocha from us. A lot of times people think that Vodim are just there just as a way to make money for themselves.
That was a Jewish link this week. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm saying, it's like,